Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of UFC, and they're putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 100-1 odds on either fighter to land a punch during the title fight. Pick either main event fighter to land a punch during this weekend's UFC 258 bout, and DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 100-1 odds. Just bet a dollar on either fighter to land a punch. If it happens, you'll cash $100. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure to use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if either main event fighter lands a punch on Saturday. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number four, Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Dustin. Dustin, we want to talk about the Penn State coaching staff. There's been a couple changes this year where James Franklin made the big change at offensive coordinator. Now recently, Tyler Bowen, tight end coach, moved on. He made a very quick replacement there also. The new offensive coordinator, Mike Yurcich, that was a big get there. But let's look at the big picture with James Franklin in hiring. Are there any trends? Is there something in common you see in the James Franklin era at Penn State as coaches come in and out of the staff?
I don't know that he has a type so much. I don't know if there's a trend necessarily about the kinds of coaches he's been hiring. But I think in general, like he makes it clear he carries around that list. Guys that he's come across or met at coaching conventions or have been impressed by or have seen through high school circuits, or, you know, and there's also another layer of strategy in terms of, you know, like I think Terry Smith was an excellent hire at the beginning because he's got Penn State roots. He's got Western Pennsylvania roots. He's a pretty good technical coach. I mean, there's all these different ways that you can fit a staff, and James Franklin, you know, he it's a moving target for him. I think he's just looking for the guy who at that point, at that juncture in time, fits what he's looking for. And, you know, I think it's interesting. Phil Troutwine, I think had an excellent reputation at Boston College. He gets a chance to kind of spread his wings a little bit more and create an opportunity for himself. That was last year, obviously. Taylor Stubblefield, I think he was at eight locations in 9 years as a coach. I mentioned earlier, you know, his resume looked a lot like James Franklin's resume before he kind of settled in. The difference being Taylor Stubblefield is kind of a lifer at wide receiver. Now, there are some times where it's gotten a little cute with like the Jaywan Sider hire, which pushed David Corley from running backs to wide receivers at Penn State. That was kind of, I think, you look back on it, doomed from the beginning. But I think just in general, the trend for me, I guess, is that there have been more hits than misses. There have been a couple areas, including, I think, the most important hire you can make at offensive coordinator, where they're still kind of in search mode and they think they've got the answer in Mike Yurcich. But I think he's found and developed a lot of really good assistant coaches.
And we had mentioned earlier in our recruiting segment, how things work at Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson. And if you're Alabama and Nick Saban, you're pretty much bulletproof. They can have coaches come in and out of there over and over again. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect his recruiting. If you're not Alabama, though, the stability of the coaching staff can matter. So you want to bring in the right guy, but you're also, there is concerns when you're having that rotation, that revolving door of coaches, and it probably did hit Penn State a bit. It's interesting you mentioned a Stubblefield as the wide receiver coach. Now, he looks like a winning pick, but when he came here a year ago, when they had several coaches, you know, what, three coaches in 4 years or something to that effect, bringing in a guy who's only spent like 1 year at each location didn't seem like the right move, did it?
Right. And I think James Franklin connected with that, because I think he was judged the same way at certain points in time because of the way that it looked like he was just bouncing around from one place to the next. But he kind of alluded to it when he was talking about Taylor Stubblefield, and it sounded like he sure connected with that too. There's so many intertwining things when it comes to A, being successful at your job, whether that's the offensive system, whether that's the head coach, whether that coach leaves and takes another job and subjects you to being either retained or let go by the next coach. There's been some of those things happening with Taylor Stubblefield where James Franklin, it looked like he really thought that Taylor Stubblefield's best coaching was ahead of him. And, you know, I think he identified that. You saw what happened last year. He gets a little promotion already after 1 year. So it looks like he's very much an integral part of Penn State staff already. And it looks like James Franklin was right about him. You know, his resume didn't define who Taylor Stubblefield was, but you know, it's hard from the outside looking in, especially, you know, for a Penn State fan who might be looking at this situation and saying, my God, we've had three wide receivers coaches in 4 years. Like, can we just settle that spot down? And now you bring in a guy who looks like a Rolling Stone. I think it should have been met with that kind of skepticism, but maybe James Franklin deserves a victory lap for it.
Well, I think the connection there also was, I believe Taylor Stubblefield knew what his resume looked like, and that it was in his best interest to stick around for a couple years. So he and James Franklin were in sync on their incentives. But overall, Dustin, in hiring your coaching staff, there's a bit of a catch-22. If you make the right hire, a guy who's successful, there's a good chance he's going to move on. Yeah. If you hire the wrong guy, well, he's not going to move on because the job offers aren't going to be there for him. You have to make the move. Now, yeah, in that context, you know, you could see that James Franklin has made some pretty good hires who have moved on. You know, Joe Moorhead, he brought on. He felt that was his guy. It turned out he was the right guy, but he ended up with a head coaching position. Don't you have to reach a point as a head coach where the reputation is, come here, succeed, and you can move on to an even better job? With that being the case, it's easier for me to hire the next guy who's going to move on.
It's an interesting dance you've got to do. You've got to be thinking about, you know, I don't necessarily want to be hiring four new coaches every year, but I do want to hire the best coaches available. You're trying to find that middle ground between getting a coach with upside and getting a coach who's almost guaranteed to stick around for 1 year and then move on. Now, if you get a position coach like Jared Parker, I don't think there's a whole lot you can do with that. He comes in for a year, then he gets an offensive coordinator position. You can't blame anybody in that scenario. Maybe he was just getting started at the wide receiver coach spot. So you do have to kind of be mindful of that. And maybe sometimes, like, I felt like Ricky Ronnie was a little bit too far in the opposite direction. Like, he's got a guy who's been in it for the long haul. James Franklin even made mention of the fact before Ricky Ronnie became a head coach at Old Dominion that he didn't necessarily have head coaching ambitions at that point. So I think he thought Ricky Ronnie was a developmental coach, somebody he believed in, somebody he thought would grow into that position, and somebody he thought was going to be around for a while. It turned out that it was kind of none of those things.
What's interesting, Dusty, is you see some of these. I think we all realized Tyler Bowen, the success he had here at tight end, developing players, recruiting players. He was a guy with a future. If it wasn't going to the NFL as a tight end coach, he probably was going to get a coordinator position somewhere else at the collegiate level. I think we all look at Juwan Sider, see how good a recruiter is, how well the running backs have been playing over the last several years, and we think we wouldn't be surprised if he moved on. What's interesting, though, on the defensive side of the ball, we have someone like Brent Pry, who is he one of those guys who's just going to be a lifer as the defensive coordinator, and he's likes it in Happy Valley. That's where he wants to be. And he's close enough with James Franklin, who's happy enough. He's going to be there forever.
Yeah, and I think this is where you get into the personalities of coaches. Like you kind of think, you know, you look at coaches, you look at somebody who's a Power Five coordinator, and you just sort of work off the assumption he's building towards becoming a head coach. When I don't think that's necessarily automatic. I think there are some coaches who are who love their role, love their location, love who they work for. You know, Brent Pry with James Franklin. James Franklin does seem like a pretty good guy to work for because he's surrounded himself with guys who stuck with him for a while, who are nice guys. Brent Pry, you know, I think he's gotten a little bit of heat to get, you know, like the James Madison, like the FCS type jobs. And maybe it's just not worth it to him to step up to being in the power seat and accepting all those new responsibilities that take you away from the actual football coaching aspect of it. Maybe he just wants to coach defense. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think he's good at that. But it almost feels like with Pry, like if he hasn't moved on yet, is he going to move on? You know, is he going to be linked at, you know, at James Franklin's hip this entire time? And now you can look at the past 2 years and wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I think the guy knows what he's doing. He knows defense, that if he's got the right personnel and he's got, you know, he's able to do something with it. So I think he is one of those guys, as you say, who, you know, is good at his job, but isn't going to be that Rolling Stone.
Dustin, is this a little bit of a balancing act between, you don't want to have four coaches leaving in a year, but you also want to create an atmosphere where the coaches can move on and succeed. And the way to do that the right way is, we mentioned, you know, a wide receiver is probably not necessarily an attractive job at Penn State a year ago. But if Taylor Stubblefield turns this into, hey, it's a real good position, we've got wide receivers succeeding, so if he does move somewhere, it's an attractive guy, you know, an attractive spot to get the next good wide receiver coach, kind of like what we see happening at running back. Do you need to develop that kind of tradition at a position?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a mandatory thing or not. For position coaches. Now, the offensive coordinator position or defensive coordinator position, if you're hiring that every 2 years or so because that guy keeps getting a big job or keeps getting a head coaching job, I think it more applies to those spots than I do position coaches. But it doesn't hurt. I mean, I think position coaches, if you got a reputation for a spot and have a bunch of standout wide receivers and you can inherit them, then that's a product of the previous guy there.
And hopefully Ty Howell at tight end will take advantage of the returning tight ends to make that a successful job. That is it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight. Just bet $1 on either main event fighter to land a punch, and if that happens, you will cash $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.